by your host, Michael Redding, and the co-host, Matt Parasini. It's showtime!
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michael Redding. Join me with Matt Parasini and our good friend, Willie Whitaker.
Boys. What's going on, fellas?
Not too much.
No, not a whole lot.
Willie was happy to join this show, and we'll get into it here in a little bit about what's going on there. But anyway.
Well, let's pay some bills right quick.
Yep.
Do you have a washed-out driveway or need a garage or shop approach fixed with gravel? I have a guy for you. Name is Jake Pinkston. Guy with Blading Now. He serves Independence County, Stone, Izzard, Sharp, Cleburne, and Jackson counties here in the great state of Arkansas. Give him a call today at 870-613-2922 and ask about your free estimate and tell him the announcer Mike sent you.
All right. Well, I think the first thing we're going to do is that Willie actually had the privilege of actually being at Atlanta this weekend. So I kind of wanted to give him a couple minutes to just kind of go over what his thoughts were the whole weekend and everything there and just see what he thought.
I tell you what, it was a good experience. This is our second trip to Atlanta. We was there all weekend, got down there on Friday, went to truck qualifying, went to Xfinity qualifying. Got to see that they did a little pit road practice and stuff. I know I shared a little bit about to y'all, you know, the Midway looked small. Well, it grew about three times overnight. So, Atlanta blew us away, had a lot of stuff for the kids and stuff like that. Truck race, it was boring. Kyle Busch, which is my son's favorite. So he was ecstatic when Kyle Busch won. I mean, I wish I had him on video jumping up in joy when Kyle Busch won. So that's always a good thing. Xfinity race, well, it wasn't much, I can tell you. It was all single file, and there wasn't no passing. It wasn't no second lane and stuff. And I feel kind of bad. We left about 60 laps into the cup race, and man, I tell you what, I regret that right now. That whatever they say, maybe I was a good luck. After I left, that's when the racing started, right? But we did see the lap two crash and stuff. Todd Gilliland just stopped. I guess he thought it was Daytona. You can let somebody in, but in all, it was a great weekend. We're on the fence if we're going to go back in September. I've got to make a decision pretty quick. I think it's going to sell out in a month. I really do think it's going to sell out pretty quick.
I don't disagree with that at all. Cause I mean, you know, I was definitely one of the proponents about the last, probably you two can attest. Cause I talked about it in our old podcast. I was one of the proponents to say in that track, they got to do something. They got to pave it. They got to do something. Cause it had put on some pretty crappy races the last, I thought, 2 years, 2-3 years. Of that old pavement. They did this, and the first thing we all said is, oh God, they've just screwed up Atlanta. I don't know. I think my opinion might be changing on that a little bit, boys, based on what I saw in that cup race.
Well, I mean, we watched on the way home. It was a great race. I mean, there was two lanes the whole race.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how they made it four wide for a lap. That just shows you
was wild.
That was drivers right there. You know,
you imagine trying four wide at Daytona, they'd be wrecked. Anytime they've ever done four wide at Daytona, it's always
and it's narrow. It's Atlanta is only 40 foot.
Same as wide. Daytona. Daytona's 40 foot too. Yep, they were able to do four wide at Atlanta. They couldn't do it at Daytona. Not without wreck.
God. It was a great race. I did hear part of the door bumper clear saying, you know, it was a super speedway. Yeah, it was a good finish. It shouldn't be up there on the greatest races. I'm going to tell you something. That race was good from the start to the end. Yeah. So I think it has to be in the top 10 to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think you're right, though. I think if the fans respond like I think they're going to, I really suspect that we're going to be
Jeff Glucks is 92. It was 96% last time I checked Glucks' poll.
Atlanta going to sell out. September, first race in the playoffs, she's going to sell out. Just about guaranteed.
Yeah. Yep.
And the tickets are cheap. It's only 100 for me and my son. If we wanted to go back, it was $142 for two races.
That's pretty good then. Awesome. All right. Well, now that we've kind of talked a little bit about the Cup, Daniel Suarez wins in third closest finish in NASCAR history. And alive. Everybody's probably awesome finish. Absolutely awesome. And congrats to Daniel Suarez. Real happy to see him get a win.
That finish was kind of deceiving for, like, everybody thought we was going right to the checkered, like the first checkered mark. Blaney was ahead. But you go to the yellow mark, and that's where
go to the yellow line.
Yep. And that's where Suarez got him.
Yep. You go to the yellow line. So, but third closest finish in NASCAR history at .00.
Yeah. What do you think, Michael?
I thought they got it wrong, but after review, then I'd seen where Suarez got it.
God damn. But 2 weeks in a row and you're arguing about the stupid finish?
Well, you're
starting to sound like Willie did 2 years ago on the podcast. Man, he'd argue about every damn thing.
Well, I mean, it took me a minute to realize what was going on. But at first, the first initial replay, I'm like, there's no way Suarez got it.
Because you was looking at the checker, was you?
The first line that they come to, it was Blaney by, I mean, just a blur.
Yeah. And I can tell you right now, Bubba Wallace is kicking himself because he's the one that pushed Kyle Busch to get alongside Blaney. That's what kind of drug Blaney back. Right. And then Suarez was up there, and, hey, Suarez just – you know, I was it Cindric come right behind Suarez at the very end and kind of gave him that late push, which I'm sure Roger's like, wow. I mean, you really, come on, guy. You know.
But I got to put a question in here, and I kind of want to hear your guys' answer to it, and I also want to hear the comment section make an answer to it, too. Best race at Atlanta you have ever seen? Yes or no?
I mean, it's hard to go back to the old days when it was really good racing, but this has been the best by far.
It's hard for me because I like the old Atlanta, but from start to finish, this is a better product.
When I say old Atlanta, I mean the old Atlanta, the true oval.
Yes, well, I didn't get to ever see the true oval. That's showing your age, but you know.
The old configuration when they redid it in 97. It put on some pretty good races there in like 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. I mean, we have the Bobby Labonte Earnhardt finish in 2000, right? That was a great race, great finish. 01, we can't forget Gordon Harvick, right? Harvick winning that one. That was, you know, another great race. And then we had a few other ones too. I think Edwards and Johnson had a close one there, and there were some real good ones and stuff. And that configuration, I always thought, put on some real, real good racing until the pavement got too worn out that the cars couldn't stick anymore and run the two lanes. Once that happened, then all of a sudden we were, you know, and giving some credit, let's be honest, I'll give a little bit of credit too. You know, when they went to the 550 horsepower package on the Gen 6 car, that did not help that racetrack at all for the race product that it was put. You know, I personally, I think I would have liked to have seen what this generation of car would have done on the old Atlanta surface, because we never got to see that because they redid the track before with the introduction of this car, right? So we never really got to see that. But in the next gen era, this race by far is got to be in the top five of one of the best, most entertaining races of the next gen era.
So here's my question. You're more on the the engineering side of it. How do they keep this product at Atlanta? Because I think as you get to it's going to race different in the fall.
It is.
And it's going to race totally different in the spring.
It's going to be tricky. And here's my reasoning for saying that is because, I mean, I made the comment we were talking about in our chat, that pavement between last fall and this spring race Oh, man, that sucker got a lot of gray in it real quick. It got a lot of age on it.
It's got patches on it now.
It's got patches, and it got a lot of age on it. And I'm afraid about the fact that we can continue, I think, to do this package for a little bit longer and stuff, but I think the grip level is going to get to the point where I don't know if we're going to be able to race like they are right now with this in this super speedway configuration.
Do they repave it?
I
just don't know if they can.
I don't think so. I think it probably, and it could end up going to an intermediate style, but listen, I've been wrong before. I'm hoping I'm dead wrong. I'm hoping that they can keep this package and everything like that. The package, let's be honest, I've complained about the super speedway package. The package as it sits right now worked for Atlanta. I don't think it works for Daytona, but it works for Atlanta.
So make a little tweaks for Daytona and Talladega.
I'd say we need to make some tweaks for Daytona and Talladega. Maybe they got to take a little drag out of the car possibly or something like that just to let them give a little more. I think the guys could use more throttle response. I'd like to see them have more throttle response on the big plate tracks. I think that would really help the racing. I know every time they've given them more power and more throttle response on the plate tracks, it seems to put on a better show.
Did you see a couple times where somebody come across like Kyle Busch's nose or Blaney's nose and they immediately had to lift because it immediately got them tight? Like, I mean, it's like that air changed so bad where it just slide jump. Up.
We had the slide job, right?
Yeah.
You literally could had an Atlanta slide job. And if you slide job the guy's car, I mean, you could make him tight and make him, you know, have to lift. I mean, a lot of guys were very successful about it. Joey Logano, well, he wasn't so successful about it at the end of stage two. I mean, he wiped out him
get
and Butcher.
Shots in.
And...
Get him in.
I mean, he all wasn't I know so successful.
He was like this, and then I thought he had TJ Majors in his ear because he just went whoop, and then
he admitted it was his fault.
Oh, it was his fault. Absolutely.
I mean, he can't deny it. What was he going to do? Deny it? Say, all right. Well, you know, I just got turned right there. No. No, he ain't going to do that.
Hey, look, Daniel agrees with me.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's all right. It's all right. We still love you. It's all right.
Anyway, we're going to move on here. We unfortunately, the penalty police got a couple guys this week. We're going to talk about this one first. Penalty report from Atlanta, L1 penalty for Stuart Haas, 10 and 41. 35 driver and owner points for roof rails that did not meet CAD drawing specifications. So,
team issued part. Or no, yep. It's a... Team built part.
Built part that has to match the CAD drawing. Did not meet the CAD drawings. Can't do that. 35-point penalty.
So it puts it. What is it? Put which one? Gregson is at zero. Priest is what, negative six, or is it Priest at zero now? And
total points on the year.
Yeah, you've got the points up, don't you, Mike? You got the points up. I think you said.
Well, I got the top 10, but we can look. Yeah, go ahead. Y'all go ahead. I'll pull it up.
So, yeah, that was. I mean, boys, how many more times does NASCAR have to go and tell these guys, quit screwing with my race car?
Noah Gregson, negative six, and Ryan Priest, zero.
Yeah.
How'd you like that?
So,
your two races.
So let's just
the
say
season,
they're not
minus six.
Yeah, you're not pointing in right there. I mean, let's just go and mark them out pointing in.
They're already in a basically must win situation at this
point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, Noah Gregson's already looking for off season.
Nah. I mean, I think Noah Gregson. I don't think Stuart Haas got speed, but I think Noah Gregson's. They'll give him at least 2 years with. Well, you know, Johnny Morris is behind him, right? So, I mean.
But you've got to give Gregson some credit here because at the end of the day, Daytona, he was involved in a wreck that was not his fault. Atlanta, he was in a wreck on lap two, was not his fault. So, he has not had any, I mean, the luck, he has had no luck whatsoever when it comes to the first two races.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to give him the guy some credit.
Points on this one or is it money?
Points only. Points only. But here we go. All right, this is what everybody's been waiting for. Michael's been waiting for it here, too. Glovegate! Joey Logano busted for modifying SFI equipment to gain aero advantage in qualifying. Michael disagrees, and we think he's crazy.
100%.
Well, I don't know. NASCAR disallowed his time, made him start in the back, gave him a pass-through penalty, which he got lucky. Because if that goes green, he's going to be two laps down. But
oh, he got so lucky. He got
lucky. But look, NASCAR also decided that he needed to be fined $10,000 today
chunk
as well.
Change. Pennies.
That's pennies on. That's one appearance to him.
It is chump change. However, I'm just going to get something up here. Because we got to get this up here. We're going to share my screen here, and we're going to let Elton Sawyer discuss NASCAR's position on this deal. Courtesy of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
If you just take exactly what happened at the racetrack from a competition perspective and trying to enhance the performance on the racetrack, obviously we see time and time again at super speedways and other events where the drivers will stick their hand out the window. That's not something that we've been all that alarmed about. When you take it to the level that you have modified some of the safety equipment, gloves in particular, and then using that. So the penalty at the racetrack was based off that. So we disallowed the qualifying time, put the 22 to the back, and then also had them perform a pass-through penalty under green. Now, the next step of that is when you look at safety equipment, and we look at this very hard, we look at this, take it very seriously. There's been numerous meetings over time about safety of the car and the equipment and the drivers. And when you take and alter that, that will be something that we will discuss today if it needs to have additional penalty added to that. But the reason I want to be really clear on that is that what happened at the racetrack and the way it was handled was strictly based on performance and using that device. Now, altering a SFI certified safety piece of apparel, that's a different topic that we'll discuss today.
All right. Now, before Michael, because he's got an opinion on this, and I'm willing to listen on it and everything like that. I am. But I'm going to bring this up because I want to have you guys see this because I thought it was a decent picture. Mm-hmm. That shows what the modification was right there. Okay, so there was a piece of fabric sewn between the index finger and the thumb. When NASCAR issued penalties today, I want to make sure that I get this out too before Michael starts his argument. So it says here, Logano's left-handed glove was modified with webbing between the thumb and the index finger. Per SFI specifications, gloves shall have separate sections for each finger and thumb.
Woo! So that means nothing right here.
Nothing right there. So that is an SFI specification, which means that a safety piece of equipment was modified. I don't know what Michael's going to say, but as far as I'm concerned, NASCAR got it right.
Well, hang on a minute. So he did use this at Daytona. They can't confirm it. They can't confirm it. Okay.
It can be confirmed. It was on video.
No. It wasn't on video.
It was. No. I know where the video's at.
They said that he never took his left hand off. He took the window net down or tried to pull the window net with his right hand and then took the window net down with his right hand. He would never show his left hand on the camera.
It was on camera. He used his left hand to bring the window net down after qualifying at Daytona with the left hand with the glove off. It shows him pulling the glove off before he pulled the window net down.
So, all right,
Michael. Yeah, let's hear
it. I want to hear this. Yeah. I've got to hear this.
Order. Order in the court. This is a glove. Yeah, this part right here had something on it. What's the difference of holding your hand out the window doing that right there than having a piece right here? You tell me the difference. You don't have any.
Hey,
performance-wise, there was nothing to it. I am gonna
blow your argument right out of the water right here now.
Let's hear it.
So if you're doing your little thing like this, right? Putting your hand out the window with your hand closed up like that, right? Look at the surface area of your hand. All right, now I'm gonna open it up. And now I got a piece of fabric in there. How much bigger did I just make the surface area of my hand?
It's not gonna change that much.
It's going to cover the whole hole.
You're not changing it.
It's still going to change the surface area of your hand, which means you're going to be able to close up more space in the window. That's the problem.
So
I tell you right now, if he didn't sit on the pole in the outside pole, they probably wouldn't have said that. Like went to him and be like, "Hey, you know,
okay, where's Michael McDowell's glove? Because we know that crappy team ain't got that kind of speed."
Why? They got Penske. They're Penske affiliated this year.
They're a tier one now. They wasn't a tier one last year. They're tier one this year.
If he's out running the top Penske car, tell me how is he on the pole?
I mean, they
glove. If it's that big of a difference, he's wearing a glove too. You want to get rid of all this crap? Quit sticking your damn hand out the window.
I think that's coming.
I really think that's coming. Listen, let's be
did
honest.
He deserve to get a penalty for the modification because the fabric? Sure, fine him. Do whatever. But the hand out the window, I see no damn difference in it than anybody else.
But the difference is the glove.
And excuse my language. I've been pissed off about this ever since Sunday. And they can tell you.
But the glove is the reason why they did it. Like he's the only one having it. Look, don't get me wrong. If he went and showed them the glove and had it re-rated, I wouldn't doubt if NASCAR wouldn't let him use it. I really honestly think if he went and got it recertified and said, "Hey, this has been recertified," even with that, if that fabric is recertified.
Oh, see, Willie, it can't, because look at the argument that NASCAR put out for the penalty today. It does not meet SFI specifications, which says there has to be a gap between each finger.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. So if you put something here, it's never going to get certified because it doesn't meet SFI spec, right?
Well, how can you even get out with something there? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
let's be honest, because we know how the garage works. We've all been there. We know how it works and everything like that. He goes and sees this little glove, and all of a sudden...
Everybody's got one.
Our official, and they kick the guy and say, hey, you might want to check us out. Something's going on over here. And then all the next thing you know, now they start, you know, investigating, looking, and everything like that. And then it was on the camera.
Oh, they knew it. As soon as he got off the racetrack, son, you could see him going like he already knew.
Yeah. Somebody said something for sure. There was something said at some point. NASCAR started checking, and then he got busted.
Everybody was watching his end car when he was going around the racetrack.
At the end of the day, the SFI spec that says there can't be anything in between the fingers or anything like that does not meet SFI specifications. It's a modification to a safety component, because that's what it is.
Same thing with 38 truck. 38 truck got kicked out again for the fasteners. I'm surprised they didn't. I'm surprised they didn't get on the.
Well, I'm actually shocked. I thought that the other truck that lost the roof in the truck race might get.
I thought he was going to get suspended. Dude, that truck come by me. I'm like, I said, the roof is gone. Like, what? And the guy's like, yeah, we saw it fly on the backstretch. I'm like, wow.
See the damage it did to Ty Gibbs' truck or Ty Dillon's truck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, caved his roof in big time. But I can't believe the 38 truck got DQ'd again for exactly the same thing that they got busted for last year with the stupid windshield at Vega.
Oh, Vicky, if you're talking about what I was talking about with Stone County and Mountain View, if you got any driveway damage or you need a shop or garage approach fix with some gravel, get a hold of Jake Pinkston at 870-613-2922, and he will fix you up. Just ask about your free estimate.
So, anyway,
let's all say he got lucky, because he was coming down pit road when all that mess happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100% got lucky, and you're lucky he turned up in front of Chris Buescher, because he was fixed to win that dadgum race. But
let's be honest, because we've talked about our little chat that we had between the three of us before.
And it was live this weekend.
Lap two, Eric Jones gets wrecked in the first wreck. Michael's there. Karma's, you know what? He's laughing.
Dollar Tree trash bag for the Dollar Tree car.
So he was like, yeah, Karma got you. And then it was like, yeah, well, I'm still in it. Then sure enough, McDowell takes out Byron coming into pit road on being a dumbass.
All right, hold up on that. Should that have been a caution? Because I said no. But
which one?
I've talked the Byron and McDowell on pit road. It should have been a caution. They're out of the racing surface.
But that they're still clogging up pit road.
They're clogging up pit road entrance.
That would have killed the race. That would have killed the race if that happened. I applaud NASCAR all weekend. I really did, because I saw so many flat tires that could have been a caution, and they let them have their chance, get down on pit road, and went in and fixed it. Yes, it ruined the race, but I applaud NASCAR because they had a lot of patience this weekend.
I think they made the right call. I mean, Byron's car got a lot of damage on the front after that deal. I mean, his car was basically killed.
Because he hit the wall, inside wall. Yeah,
it killed his car. And McDowell, that was because he wheel hopped or whatever coming onto pit road there, because of they got to be down to 90 mile an hour at that point.
That's that two pit road thing right there.
It's weird. It's weird.
Look how many pit road penalties you had. You had like 7 in one lap.
But getting back to our chat, because this got more interesting. Now Michael's out there laughing his you-know-what off, because he's like, oh, look, now Byron's out too. And he's laughing and thinking, oh, yeah. And then Logano, like, shortly after takes the lead, and he says, oh, yeah, here you go.
And I then, even sent him the Jaws music. But it was did. And a geef or whatever you call that thing, mem.
And then the end of
I thought I had TJ Majors in my ear. I'm gonna pull in front of him.
And then the stage two incident happened, and Willie and I both said, karma's a you know what, huh? Well, take it and eat it there, boy.
Cause I do think that Eric Jones finished in front of Logano.
I'm pretty sure he did, because Logano was 8 up down.
That was fun to watch. It was. That was fun to watch. I enjoyed that.
We're going to move on. We're going to just touch. Michael, do you want to do the top 10 rundown there in the cup race?
Yeah, we'll do the top 10s right quick. In the truck series, it was Kyle Busch. Second was Ty Majeski.
Oh,
third.
Cup series. We're not there yet. Cup series only.
Yeah. Oh, you want? Well, I was doing everybody's. God bless America. All right, here we go.
The
Daniel
truck series
Suarez.
Xfinity was born. It's done.
All right. Well, Daniel Suarez picked up win number one, Ryan Blaney second. Kyle Busch third, Austin Cindric fourth, Bubba Wallace fifth, Ricky Stenhouse sixth, Ross Chastain seventh, Michael McDowell eighth, Chris Buescher ninth, and Ty Gibbs rounded out your top 10.
Nice recovery for a few of those guys after Daytona.
I mean, only 5 cars didn't have damage.
It was a good race. So, we're going to touch quickly on Xfinity and trucks, guys, because there was not a heck of a lot to talk about, and I think Xfinity was even worse than trucks. Xfinity race, man alive, who is going to beat this man on super speedway style tracks?
It was Jesse Love's race. I mean, he just got lucky.
Oh yeah, Jesse Love have it.
The seas parted for him. If you look at the last caution, the seas parted and he got the lead and it was over.
But he ran out of gas, didn't he?
Who?
Jesse Love. Yeah,
Jesse Love ran out of gas. Yeah.
But it was his fault. his crew chief was coming in. He said, hey, we gonna come in here. You think you saved me enough? Oh yeah, I got you enough. He didn't save enough. The only second race, I don't see how. But I tell you right now, that kid's gonna win some races.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if he wins this weekend.
Yeah, he's,
I mean, our RCR, let's be honest, boys, RCR is on a roll right now.
In both series.
Yep. Yep. They're doing, I mean, really, Austin really Dillon well.
Ain't really no count, but you know.
Here's my thoughts, I think, on an Xfinity race. From the little bit, I wasn't able to watch it, guys, so I'm a little bit hate that, but we were talking about it here a little bit before the show started. By far the Cup Series, I think we can all agree, put on the best race at Atlanta this weekend out of all three series. I think the truck race, we'll get to it here in a sec, but I think it might have got a little watered down because of what happened at Daytona. Because Xfinity Series, I'm like, I think it might have something to do with the package because they're running the intermediate aero package with the, and I'm wondering if that lack of downforce and lack of grip that those cars had caused the issue.
Your mic, Matt.
What happened? Is it dead?
Yeah, you went out for a minute.
My bat?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. I was just saying, I'm wondering if the intermediate aero package on the Xfinity car is what's hurting that, what hurt that race.
I think a lot of it Saturday was fuel saving at the end of the race too.
Oh, sure it was. But you know, I think the biggest issue is that, you know, I guarantee if you look at the downforce numbers between the Cup and the Xfinity car, Xfinity probably had a substantial amount of count less than the Cup Series cars did. And like we said, Atlanta's wearing out, and I think with the less downforce, I think that might have hurt that race.
Yeah, you did see almost a scuffle on pit road. He gave him a 2-race suspension, but J.J. Yaley's crew chief.
Yeah, he there it was in the penalty report. I didn't pull up the Xfinity penalty reports.
He got 2 races.
Anyway.
The crew chief?
Yeah, crew chief. Crew chief pushed
Kyle Weatherman. Crew chief pushed, yeah, there was some contact between Yaley and Weatherman, I think it was, and Yaley's crew chief pushed Weatherman.
Yeah.
All right, Xfinity results there, Michael, please.
Xfinity results. Austin Hill picking up the win. Chandler Smith second. SVG come home third. Sheldon Creed fourth. Parker Retzloff fifth. Jeremy Clements sixth. Anthony Alfredo seventh. Jeffrey Earnhardt eighth. Ryan Truex ninth. And Sammy Smith running out your top 10.
I'm going to say in that, Parker Retzloff, 2 top 5s to start the season.
Sitting 5th in
heck
points.
Heck of a start for that.
6th in points.
Is he 6th? I can tell you right now that he's – that Jeb is struggling a little bit. I mean, I can tell you – I mean, he's not
– What happened to your super speedway king there?
Well, I mean
– You're not getting out of
dying to hear it. Dying to hear it.
Well, yeah. I don't know what happened between him and John Hunter, but John Hunter got loose, got in the wall, and Jeb went in the back of him. That kind of he fell like a rock rest of the stage. We stayed to the end of stage 2 on the Xfinity. He fell like a rock, but you know, I think Jordan Anderson's team's got a lot of speed though, as you can see. I mean, they do have a lot of speed. I want to see them this weekend. I want to see them what they do this weekend.
They got speed at the super speedways. Not going to deny that, except for Jeb. I mean, the other two are doing well. He's not.
SVG with a third, though. Let's go ahead and throw out a SVG.
That was a good rate. That was a good finish for him.
He's got Coda coming up. Let's see what he does at Coda.
Win.
All right. Trucks.
It'd be with him and Allmendinger. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Trucks, we're going to touch on this one real quick. Kyle Busch wins in trucks again. What are you doing there, Willie?
I'm yawning. That was that's a boring race.
Well, you had said though that there was the guys were basically running up at the top the whole time, but yeah, there was two guys trying to run the bottom, and Kyle Busch was one of them. And look who
Kyle Busch and Grant Enfinger's the only ones basically running the bottom. If Kyle Busch got out front, you'd almost have to tag team and get around him. Grant Enfinger had a penalty, but he had a slow stop. He went from the back to the front three laps. And that's because you could basically kind of dart on the bottom and suck up to that guy, and you could pass seven or eight trucks in a corner. But if you didn't get back up in line, you were going to the back.
I think the key there was is that if the guys were able to run the bottom, because if the guys that were able to run the bottom of the truck race, they were the ones that basically Kyle was able to run the bottom. He won the race.
Yeah, they started able to battling.
Race where they weren't.
They started battling at the end, side by side, second and third, and Kyle just pulled away and stuff. But the Xfinity race and truck race, they spread out a little bit. You had packs like five or six where the cup was all together.
And again, I think that's
part of your package.
Cup had the full Super Speedway package that we run, and I was honest, right? I beat the crap out of the Super Speedway package at Daytona, but the package that they run in Atlanta, don't touch it.
I just want to see the short track package. You mess with that's the only change we had all this offseason. Let's see the short track package.
Oh, coming up, Phoenix is coming.
So I want to see it.
All righty.
Ready for your top 10 right quick?
Oh, yeah, we got to do that. I always forget that part.
Top 10, truck 10, Kyle Busch won the race. Ty Majeski second, Corey Heim third, Taylor Gray fourth, Nick Sanchez fifth, Caden Honeycutt sixth, Tyler Ankerman seventh, Rajah Carew finished eighth, Daniel Dye ninth, and Dean Thompson rounded out your top 10.
I don't think we got really any surprises in that top 10.
Nope.
Yeah, I think who was seventh again? There was Tyler Ankerman.
Dean Thompson.
No. There was Daniel one wild. Caden Honeycutt. Yeah, that's your wild card. He's part time. So.
All right. Well, let's get to it. It's trivia time, guys.
All right. Question number one. Who was the 1996 Las Vegas winner? Was it A, Terry Labonte, B, Jeff Burton, C, Mark Martin, or D, Jeff Gordon? And you have 20 seconds. Ten seconds.
Uh-oh, we got somebody.
C would be correct.
Was that the first race at Las Vegas?
That was the first race. Daniel got it. I know. I still swear he's Googling it.
That's a quick Google.
All right.
Second number two. Who has the most wins at Vegas? Is it A, yo man, Joey Logano, B, Matt Kenseth, C, Mark Martin, or D, Jimmy Johnson? Starting now. Ten seconds. 5 seconds. And the correct answer is D. The biggest game artist in NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson. And you said B. It is not Matt Kenseth.
Incorrect there, Daniel.
All right. And the next trivia question. We have four tonight.
Yep.
It's Jeff Gordon one. Jeff Gordon only had one career win at Las Vegas. What year did he accomplish that feat? A, 1998, B, 2002, C, 2004, or D, 2001?
I think I know this one.
20 seconds. Let me know when time's up there, Will Michael.
Time is up. Daniel said B, 2002.
That would be incorrect. Willie, what's your guess?
Is it 98?
would also be incorrect. It happens to be the last year that Jeff Gordon won a championship, 2001.
Mm.
Was that the Vegas third race of the year?
That was, yep. Yeah, well, that race was almost actually, if I'm not mistaken, they were dealing with a threat of rain. First time ever, a threat of rain in Vegas all day, but it helped. All right, question number four.
All right, which manufacturer has the most wins at Vegas? Is it A, Dodge, B, Ford, C, Chevy, or D, Toyota? Eight seconds. And that's a wrap. So we didn't get a winner on that one, but it is B.
Yeah, Daniel, the guess, did C, but that was incorrect.
Incorrect. It is B, Ford with 14.
I was trying to hit him.
He was trying to make it oval.
Trivia for this week.
Because Carl Edwards won quite a few races there. Kansas won. Greg Biffle won quite a few races there.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be right or wrong about this, but I know that the first race was in 96, but I believe Roush won 96, 97, 98, 99, and 2000. I believe they were on the first 5 years was all Roush car.
Jimmy Johnson has 4 wins. Joey Logano has 3. Brad Keselowski, 3. Matt Kenseth, 3. Jeff Burton, 2. Carl Edwards, 2. Kevin Harvick, 2. Kyle Larson, 2. Mark Truex, 2. And Tony Stewart, 1 on the first list.
But I'm thinking you got Greg Biffle had 1. And I think you had Greg Biffle. Oh, he was too busy. He was too busy Googling.
It's hard to Google it in 20 seconds.
Oh, I bet I can
see. Wasn't even looking at you while he was busy.
Mm-hmm. At Las Vegas.
Johnson is the most sense of Las Vegas. Oh, you mean overall?
You're going to have good service because Siri never talked to you back.
Oh, it popped it up. They ain't talked about it. I just need to ask AI. Yeah.
All righty. So I think we're moving on here now to trivia, or not trivia, a fantasy review in Atlanta. Michael, you'd be up on that one.
Yes, sir. I would.
I don't want to hear this, though.
I won. Coming home second was Keith. Third was Daniel Hauser. Fourth was Jeremy Klein. Fifth was Matt Parasini. Sixth was Jerry Klein. Seventh was Willie Whitaker, and rounding out the field was eighth place Dirt Buster, who won Daytona. Points now for the league. I am your points leader. Thank you very much. Keith second, Dirt Buster 3, Matt Parasini 4th, Willie Whitaker 5th, Daniel 6th, Jeremy 7th, and Jerry 8th.
So
I was doing okay there until the wreck with Keselowski, and that one took out Hamlin and Keselowski in my lineup, and it was like, ugh, well, there goes.
I had a good lineup if Todd Gilliland would have, you know, yeah, he kind of hurt me, but I think I got a pretty good one this week.
I'm gonna give you a lineup to choose that would be for points.
Oh, you're gonna do a lineup for points and a lineup to throw away?
A lineup to throw away and a lineup for points. For points, I would go with Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace, and Kyle Larson. If you want a throwaway lineup, use William Byron, Ross Chastain, Martin Truex, Chase Elliott, or Ty Gibbs.
How is that a throwaway?
How the hell is that a throwaway?
Because I don't look to see any of those drivers compete very well at Las Vegas.
I'd put a five on it. I think I put five on it. Probably one of them's going to be in the top five.
Who the hell dominated the freaking race last spring there, boy?
That would have been Ross Chastain, wouldn't it?
That would be incorrect.
That was William Byron.
That was William Byron.
Well, that was also 2023. We're in 2024.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. That's all right, I'm gonna jump on the excuse.
I'm going to give you my lineup. I'm going to give you the winning lineup for this week, okay?
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Kyle Larson, Bubba Wallace, Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and in the garage, Christopher Bell.
Okay. I haven't done my lineup yet, so I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to go with this.
I might pull out Bubba for William, but that's just, you know.
If you want points, you better put Joey Logano in there, I'm telling you. He will win this weekend.
Logano's going to be sitting on his butt this weekend.
I put 10 on he don't. I put 10, he don't.
That's a sucker bet.
Because you know it ain't going to happen. Okay, if I'm putting a rough draft.
Let me think on that bet.
It's only good to the end of the show.
Oh, well.
You know, I think if I'm going to do a lineup, I think I'm probably going to, I'm looking at my usages too. Probably starting Kyle Busch. No, I'm starting William Byron. I know I'm starting William Byron.
Bowman ain't a bad choice either here.
I'm going to start Blaney. I'm going to start Larson. And I believe I am also probably going to start Bell. And
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about
in my garage, I'm probably going to put Hamlin.
Yeah.
That's probably the direction that I think I'm going to go.
See, I know we got some road courses coming up, so I've already used Hamlin, Bubba, and Bell once.
Yeah.
So,
but how do you not start Kyle Larson the way he was running on the?
Yeah,
I went with a more or less a throwaway lineup in Atlanta because I was afraid of the usage. So I used Kyle Busch, Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, Kyle Larson, Austin Cindric, and Austin Dillon, and I left Bubba Wallace in the garage up until Austin Dillon pretty well ended his day.
Well,
all right. I just put my lineup in so I could get this. All right, matchups. What are you guys doing on these matchups? Suarez versus Briscoe.
I've got Suarez.
Hang on, I gotta go find it.
I think I'm really gonna tick him off the next
one. Yeah, Suarez for sure. Joey easily.
I'm going Truex on that one.
Well, y'all do what you want to do. You're going to lose that one. Bubba Wallace for sure over Ty Gibbs and Brad Keselowski. So.
I think Ty's going to surprise you at these intermediates.
Here's how I went. I went Suarez over Briscoe, Truex over Logano, Gibbs over Wallace, and Chastain over Keselowski.
That's it. Only difference we got is Brad K over Chastain. That's the only difference I got. I know Chastain runs good on intermediates. I just think that I still think the Fords is still going to have fast hot rods.
Anyway, I will do NASCAR's good bet here for you. Your good bet at Las Vegas, one of them is Kyle Larson. Finished top 10 in 10 of his last 12 starts at Vegas. Won the race in 2023 October and finished runner-up in the last two spring races. Another good bet, Martin Truex Jr., only driver to finish in top 10 in all four next gen races at Las Vegas. Finished top 10 in the last seven races at Las Vegas. And avoids would be Chase Elliott. Now, Chase Elliott, if I'm not mistaken, this was the first race.
Yeah. No, California.
No, he was at California.
No, this was the first race because he was coming in from Denver to here.
Yeah, this was the first race he missed.
California.
Okay. He did not race last year. Chris Buescher, they're saying, is another to another avoid. He has only one top 10 finish in 14 starts, and has never finished. Here's a stat that you guys will be shocked about that NASCAR put on here. Chris Buescher never finished top five on a 1.5 mile track.
Wow.
Where all did he win at last year? Daytona? Charlotte? Michigan.
He went Charlotte.
He didn't win. No, he Charlotte won Richmond. Okay. Michigan. Okay. Yeah.
Won Michigan. Those were his three. He has never finished in the top five in a 1.5 mile track. That shocks me. And then your sleeper, I don't know what it is with NASCAR and their love affair with this guy, but the sleeper apparently is Bubba Wallace.
I would agree with that. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call him really a sleeper. I think he'd be a contender.
Well, my concern with Bubba is that at Vegas, he can be hit or miss. Hits, he hits. If he misses, though, it's bad.
And another one you need to watch out for, I think Reddick.
Well, Reddick, yeah. I suspect, could be good this week. So there's a lot of good picks up.
But don't burn Reddick yet. No, I'm just telling you, do not burn him yet.
He's good summer. But, I didn't know if I told you this, but I put a bet in Friday before we left for Kyle Busch to win the race, and I was inches away from that. I had Kyle Busch winning the race outright, and I was inches away on that one.
All right, Michael, how do people join our fantasy league?
Go on to NASCAR.com, go to the gaming channel on the tab, click the Fantasy Live, and you will want to look for the league is called Redding Racing Fantasy League. I will put that link into the chat now. Whoops, wrong tab. Hopefully it'll not give anybody problems. There it is.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. Hopefully we'd like to see some more in there. Remember, if we can get 15 guys in our league, Michael's going to put up a trophy.
Well, I'm doing that either way. But if we get 15 people, there'll also be the $100.
125.
Oh yeah, Willie added 25 bucks. Yep. Remember? Yep. All right. Well, that basically wraps us up for this week. Tune in next week. We've got the Las Vegas recap. I put an extra S. And then we finally get to see if the testing they did at Phoenix Brian did.
I can tell you that. I'm excited for the short track package. I hope it does good. I really do. I'm kind of hoping Bristol turns out good, right?
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah.
Bristol, I would love to go to Bristol.
But Bristol, they're not running the short track package.
What are you running?
They're running the intermediate package.
At Bristol?
Yep.
Why would you do that?
High speeds in the banking.
Thank you, Daniel.
They're going to run the intermediate.
Appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely, man.
It was fun.
It's sad, though. You have to put garbage on your background. I mean, you know.
I have a
hefty,
sharp,
hefty, hefty.
I have a sharp Eric Jones shirt. And I tell you what, Matt.
Did you wash your shirt?
What do you mean I washed my shirt? Yeah, washed my shirt.
Did it fall apart?
No, it didn't fall apart.
Wow, that's impressive for a Jolly Tree item.
Dollar Tree item cost me $35.
Good Lord.
Hey, they are.
They seen you coming, didn't they?
Hey, I tell you what, the best, no lie, the best deal in the garage was Chastain and Suarez's trailer is because they had a hat and a t-shirt combo for $50. I mean, you can't beat that. You can't. A nice shirt and a hat for 50. Michael,
you know what? I agree. Freaking hats are $30 now.
Yeah, they are. They was 35. You go to a dirt track, you're going to spend the same money on shirts and hats. I don't hear
possibly.
It.
Possibly.
I could tell you this. I know y'all were running close, but Suarez was signing in autographs in the trailer. I didn't get a picture, but we walked up to the line and, you know, we said hello.
That's apparently something that SMI tracks are supposed to be doing this year, is having the drivers come out to the trailers and sign and stuff.
Yeah, there was probably
something about that.
Yeah.
But I know William was out at the Hendrick trailer signing stuff, apparently.
Yeah, there was about, there was 15 drivers total between 2 days. But I'm not counting the truck series, autographs, whatever. Here's the what I do not like, okay? You had to buy something to get a wristband to get an autograph.
I didn't.
That kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay.
But what they had for the kids, phenomenal. Best sim. Hey, did I send you the, y'all saw the video?
That dirt simulator.
Sim rig. Yeah. Awesome. They had all kinds of sim rig, whatever. But Suarez had the shortest line of them all. If that's Chase Elliott country, Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Had seven rows of about 100 people each. You're not getting in the Chase Elliott's trailer. You saw all kinds of the big hats of William Byron and Chase Elliott. I mean, everywhere. And I'm like, man, if it didn't cost me so much, I'd ship Matt one, but it probably cost me $50 shipping to Canada. But hey, I don't know how much. I'd say they're probably $50, every bit of $50. But
were
they
big hats?
Yes, they was everywhere. It was everywhere. But it was cool. It was cool looking. I enjoyed it. But Daniel Suarez, probably one of the nicest drivers you'll meet. And his fan base is growing, but his lines was the shortest. Noah Gregson, I'm going to tell you something. He going to give Chase Elliott a run for his money because his line was all the way around both his trailer and Junior's trailer. It's pretty big. Noah's got a big following.
All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to cut it off for today. Thanks, Willie, again for coming and joining us and giving your insight there on Atlanta and helping me out with, really wasn't much of an argument there when it come to Glovegate. I thought
he didn't have nothing.
A little better than that, but
he don't have nothing. It's open.
You were seriously grasping.
You know what he does have that y'all don't? Two championships. So.
Here we go again.
He won't win another one. He won't win another one.
He will not win another one.
Are y'all listening to this?
This is going. I don't like where this is going.
He ain't. Look.
Put your mouth where the money is, driver.
That's where I knew that was going in a hurry.
Huh?
You going to call that a sucker bet, too?
You think he's going to win this year's championship?
100%.
100%. What do you want to put on it?
Well, I don't know what your pockets are, so you tell me what you can afford.
You want to put a Benjamin on it?
A what?
You want to put a Benny on it?
I'll go it. I ain't scared.
All right, let's go it. Add it to the list.
All right, then. I could not get him to go 50 before the season started.
Hey, seeing how Logano run. Hey, he might lay a qualifying lap, but he gonna do now. Now I put a bench.
Best car at Daytona, best car at Atlanta. You tell me.
Best car, Logano.
Oh, all right,
drove from the back to the front.
We'll finish this after we cut off
because otherwise we're gonna be here for another half an hour. So, anyway, guys, appreciate you joining us. We will see you next Tuesday after the Las Vegas race. Stay safe. Be good. Have a wonderful night.
And I want to make one announcement. We are 3 weeks away from the Announcer Mike podcast kicking off on Wednesday nights. Thank y'all for watching. We'll see you next week.
This was a Redding Racing Media production. Thanks for watching. We hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to like and subscribe our Facebook and YouTube channel under the Announcer Mike Racing podcast. We will be back next Tuesday night at 8 Central. See you then.